Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. It is good to see you all, and whether you are here for the first time or you are here all the time, I want to say to you, welcome home. It is great to be together and to worship on this third Sunday of Advent. I'm Catherine Fluck Price. I'm one of the pastors here of Trinity, and we definitely want to welcome you this morning. Again, if you are here for the first time or if you're here all the time, we would love for you to fill out this Connect card. It's a great way for us to be able to stay connected with you and to find out more about you if you're new, to keep connected with you if you're here on a regular basis. And if you are here on a regular basis, if you'll just at least give us your name and your email, that's very helpful. I also want to share with you a little bit about our Mission Rocks this morning. It is for charity nerds, and it was started by Heath Locklear, and Heath and his father, John, I think, are here today. Are Heath and John here yet? If not, they will be at the table. They're in the narthex. Okay, great. And then they'll be at that table after the service as well. Heath had this idea to, I think they might be coming in right now. Is that Heath and John? Yes, yes. Welcome. Heath is a sophomore in high school. Is that right, Heath? And he had this idea to provide gaming systems for children who are have some kind of disability or are homebound or those who are hospitalized, and is, has started this charity himself. And that's our mission box for today. So I hope that on your way out, you'll notice the wooden boxes by the exit doors, and you will give generously to that local mission and meet Heath and John after the service this morning. I also want to remind you of everything that's coming up this week. It will be a wonderful week of worship opportunities here. We'll have our regular Wednesday evening 6:35 worship. We'll also have a longest night service on Thursday evening. That is the longest night of the year, the longest hours of darkness of the year. And it's also a time when the church has begun to gather together, especially designing worship to meet the needs of folks who are mourning a loss, or any of those for whom Christmas may not be a time of as much joyful celebration. It may be a more difficult time. And so that longest night service will be at 7 o'clock on Thursday evening in the chapel, and we invite you to come. And as well as Aaron and Lenora leading that service, two of our pastors, Reverend Jan Richardson, will also be a part of the service this year, and we're excited about that. And then, next Sunday morning, a week from today, we're gathering for worship at what time? 10 o'clock. One worship service at 10 o'clock on, we'll celebrate the fourth Sunday of Advent with a service of lessons and carols. And then that evening, we will have five worship services, beginning with the children's service at 3, a traditional service at 4:30, a contemporary service at 6:30. The youth choir will be leading worship in a blended service that begins at 9:30, the concert at 9 before that, and then traditional again in the chapel at 11 o'clock. So five services in the evening and one in the morning, and we hope we'll see you at least one of those, and perhaps more. Let me invite you now to stand up and say hello to somebody near you. Please introduce yourself if you don't know them, and say hello if you do.
Everyone, would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's join together in beginning our worship service by singing our opening hymn, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight for all the earth. Today, we light the candle of peace, and we remember Zechariah's encounter with the angel, who brought him surprisingly good news, saying, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will give birth to your son, and you must name him John. He will make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
Zechariah, the one whose name means God remembered, was able to see God's faithfulness in the gift of his son. A new dawn was breaking, and the promise of peace was on the horizon.
God of deep compassion, may the dawn from heaven break upon us this morning, giving light to those who are in darkness. As you fill us with hope and guide us on the path of peace that leads to life everlasting. Amen.
We have the opportunity now to worship God with our offering, where we present to God our gifts and our tithes. We are so grateful for your generosity as a church and your partnership with us to make God's love real in the world. So let us now give back to God and pray together. God, we thank you that you are the giver of every good and joyful thing that we receive in life, and in particularly this season, and we give back to you now from that which you have given us. We pray that you use these gifts, these tithes, these offerings to advance your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. us to worship today. The joys and praises and thanksgiving we are giving to God for His work in our life and the concerns that we carry. You'll see on the some names on the screen before you, people who are in need of our prayers, people receiving nurture from our congregational care team. Invite you to keep them in your prayers. We'll begin with a moment of silence so that you can offer to God in the quiet of your heart those things that you'd like to pray for today. But let us pray together. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. Come to us anew this Advent, and bring your heavenly light to break through our darkness and show us the way of peace and justice in our world. We long to be a people of hope, peace, joy, and love. So we humbly lift up to you all the broken places in our lives and in the world around us. Bring peace to every corner of the world where war, violence, or destruction have become a way of life. For all those who are overwhelmed with loss, mental or physical illness, or addictions, we ask for healing, compassionate care, and a new possibility of joy. God with us, even as we have prayed for those in need, we would exclude some from your loving kindness. Teach us to see with your eyes and to value all human beings the same way as you. Grant us the courage to confront our own prejudices and to stand against those who act in hatred. Help us to recognize you in ourselves, in each other, and in everyone we encounter. By your tender mercy, guide our feet in the way of reconciliation and peace. This Advent, remind us that you are the God who is come, has come, and will come again, that we are your people. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Blessed be the God of Israel, who comes to set us free, to visit and redeem us, and grant us liberty. The Benedictus. I hear that's what priests call that song these days that I sang so many years ago. I suppose that works if you're into Latin. The word I would choose to describe it, though, overwhelmed by joy, by hope, by gratitude, by love. It was the eighth day after my son's birth. That's an important time for my people, you know. After all, this was the day that he would be presented in the temple. This was the day that he would be named. It was the day that he would be circumcised as a sign that he was a part of God's covenant people. hear you still do that today? That was quite surprising to this old man's ear. Seems a little barbaric these days, don't you think? But I digress. It was the eighth day after my son's birth. Oh, but wait. I suppose that before I continue with that, I should tell you a little bit about me and about what happened before that day. My name is Zechariah. It means God remembers. You know, naming has always been important in my tradition. Names should mean something. Names should tell you something about the person. Maybe you've heard the names of some of my people before. Isaac, you know that one? Laughter. Jacob. Heel grabber. Ruth. Loyal companion. Names are important. But I don't think that my parents could have had any idea just how significant the name they chose for me would become. It made sense, of course. Zechariah, God remembers. After all, I come from a long line of priests. Ever since the day that King David had appointed my ancestor Abijah, we had been fulfilling our priestly duties in the temple, taking our turns before God and all God's people represent them. It made sense, of course, because it was our job to help remind people that God does remember and God is faithful to God's covenant. Of course, my name made sense. And so there I was on that day so many years ago. And I'm afraid I'm a little bit embarrassed by it even now as I think about the day that I went into the sanctuary to represent the people. Me, a priest. Me as one who had the privilege on that day of entering the most holy of places. Me going into the sanctuary as all of the people were just outside waiting and worshiping. Me as one who was supposed to be an example for them, as one who was supposed to model for them what it meant to trust and obey. And on that day, I failed them because I doubted God. I'm afraid it's true. It happened just the way that Dr. Luke told it in his memoirs. I went in, and as I knelt before the altar, An angel appeared. His name was Gabriel, God's able-bodied one. And in case you're wondering, yes, it's that same Gabriel who visited Mary. But did you know that he came to see me 6 months before he saw Mary? But I digress again. People tell me that happens in old age. Are you familiar with that? Anyway, there I was. Oh, and speaking of old age, did I mention yet that I was quite old already when I entered the sanctuary that day? Well, anyway, there I was, kneeling before the altar when God's able-bodied one showed up hovering above the altar. Now I see you have this beautiful angel here on your altar. The angel I saw that day didn't look anything like this one. Oh, no. That able-bodied angel looked more like, what's that actor that you all watch these days? Diesel, that's his name. Looked a little more like that, or maybe it's Stallone is his name. Yes, he was quite a scary creature. In tumbling turbans, I was scared half out of my mind when I saw him there. And you know what the first thing he said was? Don't be afraid, Zechariah. As if a guy my age wasn't going to be a little fearful at seeing something like that I'd never seen before hovering over the altar. Well, he continued his message. The next thing he said was, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. he wasn't talking about the prayers that I had entered to share on behalf of the people that day. He was talking about my prayers. He was talking about the secret longings that I had kept locked deep within my heart for so long. The ones that I couldn't even utter to Elizabeth for fear that she would feel worse than she already did about being childless for those years. It was the prayers that I had lifted silently to the Lord over and over and over again. And the truth is, I had stopped believing them a long time before that day. I mean, after all, we were too old. It just didn't make sense. As much as I wanted a son, it didn't make sense to believe anymore that it could possibly happen. So when Gabriel showed up that day and said that was exactly what was going to happen, that in spite of her old age, Elizabeth would give birth to a son, I was in disbelief. God sent the news that my prayers were going to be answered, and I did not trust. Has that ever happened to you? So there I was, my untrusting self. And Gabriel continued with his message. He said, Zechariah, you will have a child. And his name, you must name him John. And it didn't stop there. He went on to say that this was a child who would do great things. This was a child who would be a part of God's plan for the salvation of the world. This was a child who would help prepare the way for Messiah. This was one who would help people find their way back to God. It was more than I could hope for or imagine. And so I did not trust the messenger. And so, Gabriel delivered my sentence. My sentence for doubting? A 9-month timeout from speaking. Imagine that. A priest who couldn't talk for 9 months. So that whole time that the child would be in the womb, I would be speechless. You can imagine the surprise on the people's faces when I came out that day and was unable to say a word to them. They must have seen something in my face that let them know things were different, that something extraordinary had happened inside the sanctuary. But just as Gabriel had said, I couldn't get any words out as hard as I tried to be able to tell them the news that I had received. But those 9 months, those days proved to be one of God's greatest gifts to me. Left without a voice, I spent a lot of time at home. And even though I didn't know it, in the silence, God was preparing me. God was shaping my heart and my faith for that day when I would share the most important message of my life. God was working on me through those 9 months. And you know what else? Because I didn't leave the house much in those days, I was there the day that Mary showed up. When she came to visit Elizabeth, her cousin, my wife, I was there, and that thing that Luke tells about my boy while he was still in the womb, that thing that he says he did when Mary arrived, it really happened. Craziest thing I ever saw. It was like he was a little drummer boy banging on the inside wall of his mother's belly. Never seen anything like that. And Elizabeth. Oh, how I wish you could have seen Elizabeth that day. She was 6 months pregnant by this time. She was tired. Pregnancy is never easy, or at least that's what I hear. But for her, in her age, she she was old, and it was exhausting. And she had a husband that she couldn't even have a conversation with. But oh, Elizabeth, from the day that Mary showed up to tell her about her own pregnancy, my wife's faith soared. It was as if on that day she became crystal clear about the amazing plan that God was orchestrating that would involve her child and Mary's child. She was ready. She was ready to do whatever she needed. And the love and the attention that she gave Mary, what a beautiful thing. And she gave her a safe place to stay for those first 3 months. Mary left just a few days before Elizabeth was to deliver our son. I could talk forever about the day he was born. The joy I saw on Elizabeth's face when she saw him for the first time. The longings that came from deep within me to be able to speak words of gratitude for God, for how good God had been to us. It was getting late. And I still haven't told you the rest of the story about the day we presented him in the temple. And I really must share that with you before I go. It was the 8th day after my son's birth. And all the family had come there to celebrate with us. They were all hovering around Elizabeth. Because I still couldn't speak, and to be honest, I was beginning to wonder if I would ever talk again. So they were waiting eagerly for Elizabeth to announce the name that we would give this child. Now, for a week, mind you, they had been offering their suggestions. Everybody seemed to have their own opinion about what we should name our son. Lots of family names were mentioned. The one that they seemed to all be able to rally around was Zechariah. You got it? It was a wonderful gesture on their part that this firstborn son, this one who would likely be the only child we would have in our age, would be named after his father. In their minds, it was the perfect just wasn't the name that God had chosen. The one that God had put on Elizabeth's heart and my heart. Elizabeth didn't confirm or deny their suggestions, of course. I mean, it wouldn't be right to reveal the child's name before the proper time. And so there we were on the 8th day. And they were all waiting. And they all leaned in at one time and said to Elizabeth, "Well?" And they were just certain that the word that would come out of her mouth was Zechariah. So when instead she said, "No, his name is John," God's gracious gift. Well, from the way the family reacted, you would have thought that she just committed blasphemy. John? Who is John? There's nobody in the family named John. How could you possibly name him John? Elizabeth, what are you thinking? And so, they were terribly mystified. They looked at Elizabeth. They looked at me. When they realized that her answer wasn't changing at all, then someone pointed over my way. I could see what was coming next. Mama hadn't given the answer they were looking for. So now they would come to the father, the man of the house, to see what he had to say about things. Please tell me that still doesn't happen today. Well, here they all came over like a migration of ants on a sugar packet. And when they got to me, I motioned, because I still couldn't speak, I motioned to my nephew for him to go get a tablet. Not one of those fancy kinds you have these days, those electronic ones. No, one of our good old-fashioned tablets. And as he went to fetch it, I looked over at Elizabeth. We both smiled. You know, even though I couldn't speak for 9 months, during that time, we had grown closer together than ever. When my nephew came back with the tablet, I took it, and I began to write very up, and very slowly I looked at each person in the family. And I gotta admit, I took quite a bit of joy in keeping them in suspense at that moment. I looked at Elizabeth one more time. I saw her smiling again, and now I noticed a tender tear of joy coming down. And then I put my head back down and I wrote, "John." That moment I thought to myself, God's patience. And that's when it happened. That's when God unlocked my lips and I sang. I sang and I sang and I sang. And God kept filling my mouth with words to sing about all that God was doing in that moment. It was a song of God's faithfulness and God's love. It was a song of blessing and a song of salvation. It was a song of hope and a song of peace. And it was a song that reminded me and anyone who could hear me that day of what I had forgotten that day that David was there. God remembers. God remembers. On prisoners of darkness, the sun begins to rise, the dawning of forgiveness upon the sinner's eyes. He guides the feet of pilgrims upon the paths of peace. Oh, bless our God and Savior with songs that never cease.
John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Bless the Lord God of Israel, because he has come to help and has delivered the people. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in his servant David's house, just as he said through the mouths of his holy prophets long ago. He has brought salvation from our enemies and from the power of all those who hate us. He has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and remembered his holy covenant. The solemn pledge he made to our ancestor Abraham. He has granted that we would be rescued from the power of our enemies so that we could serve him without fear. In holiness and righteousness in God's eyes for as long as he lives. You, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. You will tell his people how to be saved through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of our God's deep compassion, the dawn from heaven will break upon us. Give light to those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. Guide us.
come to this table and we lift up our hearts in thanks and praise to God. God who created each one of us and breathed the breath of life into us. And yet we turned away from God and our love failed. But God's love remains steadfast. And God spoke to us through sages and prophets and saints and committed to be our God and to never leave us and to never fail us. Made covenant with us to be our sovereign God. And when the time was right, God sent John the Baptist, Zechariah's son, to call for us to prepare the way, to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. And God came in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, to be with us. And Jesus humbled himself and was obedient to following the will of God, even to the point of offering himself on the cross out of obedience and love. And so we come to this table and we remember that love, and we remember God's presence with us always. On the night before he died, Jesus gathered the disciples around him, and he took a loaf of bread, and he broke that bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. And again, he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to the disciples. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we come to this table, and we offer ourselves. We offer ourselves to walk in God's way, to walk in the way of peace and of hope, of love and of joy. Let's pray together. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here in those gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we can go out into the world and be the body of Christ redeemed by his precious blood. And by your Spirit, O God, we pray that you would make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until you come again in final victory, and the dawn of peace arrives, and we feast together around one common banquet table. In the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving to join me at the table. Thank you.
take that and dip it into the cup. And then we invite you to spend as much time as you like at the kneeling benches in prayer, either before or after you receive. There's also gluten-free available at the stations on either side. Just ask the servers, and they would be happy to serve you. Please come. Everything's ready. Pray with me. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we might go out in the world and be your way of peace and love, that we might offer hope and joy for all we need, and those for whom love is a
like the prophet Zechariah, may we leave this place with a song on our lips. A song singing glory to the Most High God. And like his son, John the Baptist, may we spend this week singing his song to prepare the way of God. And come the next Sunday, 1 week from today, we will be celebrating Christmas together. So go in peace. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face